Turn with me, if you would, to the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. And let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, as we approach your word today, continue to share with us the story of your gospel. How apostles like Paul shared your word with so many around the world and have given us the example to use. Help us in our lives to continue to share the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, which is at hand for your people even today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Begin actually a little earlier today with verse 6. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. So as I mentioned with the young people, it was a year ago that a group of us, powered by the youth, left on a mission trip for East Tennessee. The process for planning that trip, in retrospect, is pretty interesting. You see, fires raged in Gatlinburg in the summer of 2017. And as we began to plan out a mission trip, that was an area closer to home that felt like we could do a lot of good. And it looked like the fires would take years to rebuild. When we got to Gatlinburg in 2018, what we found was a little different. That a lot of things had been rebuilt. You could still see the damage from the fires, but the persistent problems in the area remained. And the biggest problem that was there in East Tennessee was systemic, long-term poverty. What we saw was the vision of a fire that was calling us, a fire that was consuming everything, and a region that was crying out like Macedonia for help. But God called us to follow that vision to that place, to see the people, to reach out to a people in need, and to see the real suffering that the gospel was calling us to help. For Paul, this section of Acts talks about Paul's ministry to a backwater, a stopover for the oppressed and those in need. Macedonia is north of Greece. Alexander the Great may have come from there, but notice he left. He went to conquer other places. He did not want to stay in Macedonia. Macedonia is poor, certainly poorer than the places that Paul wants to go. Imagine the places that Paul wants to go: Rome, Corinth, Athens. But God had other plans for Paul, and God had other plans for us in Tennessee. For me, the concern about poverty began with a course that I took at Columbia Seminary that same year on the Bible and poverty. It seemed that the Bible was speaking to us about poverty on many of its pages, pages that we were missing, pages that we could hear if we would just listen. That God had not rejected the poor, but instead had commanded us to care for them. And Jesus had sent us on their behalf because he was sent on their behalf. And so mission is about three things. The first thing that mission is about we. I said a few weeks ago when we started this section on Acts, the sequel to the gospel, that there was a section where Luke talked about we. Not he, not someone else in the Bible, but we. Luke has placed himself in the story of Acts. Luke is showing us that the story of the gospel is participatory and that the story is not over. We're still writing the story of Acts today. Missions are not done alone either. Missions are a group effort, at least two people. Paul never went out alone, and neither should we. The mission is about getting on a team and getting going. We come here to learn to worship God and to learn God's will for our lives. The gathering for worship also prepares us for mission, for doing God's will together. To mature in the gospel means that the mission gets going and that the church is on the move. The mission is also about adding to the we. The we was not just the we that went, but it was the we that was becoming. For Paul, that was taking every day to new places like Philippi and going to find new people like Lydia. They did what they always did. They worshiped God together in a new place. But this was a special place for Philippi and led them to a special person in Lydia. Lydia is regaled in missions history as having received the gospel, but also for becoming a leader in the church. She was already important in her community and somehow was already worshiping the Lord. She just didn't know what it meant yet. The Lord had opened her heart, as the scriptures say here. The Lord was putting Paul in this place for a specific reason. As churched and as religious as our area is, some 60 to 70% of the people here in the Lynchburg area do not go to church. They don't share this we that the Lord provides at church. The we is out there. They're waiting for someone who understands, someone who is a friend, someone who cares about them and loves them. Paul knew there was plenty of room in the kingdom. God was calling many people to believe and serve together, one person at a time. Most times people need a friend first. They need to know that someone else is on the journey with them to the Lord. The Lord has called us to be those people, to be the people that are meeting people where they are in their need in life. The second thing that mission is about God. I know this should be obvious, but over the years, people have said this, that the church of God has a mission in the world. In that sentence, church is the subject and the object is missions. And God's just kind of thrown in. But now, a better way to say that would be that the God of mission has a church in the world. That it is God who is the subject of missions. And that we, the church, are God's instrument for missions in the world. God's the subject, we are the object. We often have things that we want to do. Paul wanted to go to Asia. Paul wanted to go to the big cities. Paul wanted to go to Corinth and Rome. But to God, God said no. Go to Philippi. Go speak with the Galatians. Go spread the gospel in the smaller places to the poorer and the weaker. God's ways are not always our ways. Discerning God's will for us means sometimes doing things that we don't want to do, but God wants us to do. The third thing that mission is about visions and dreams. As we discussed in our poverty meetings this spring, we heard God speaking to us about those who were suffering in our area, and God was trying to help us to understand them better. Who do we feel that God is calling us to serve in missions? Who is the vision or the dream that God has placed on our hearts and in our minds? In April, we listened to Bedford Christian Ministries, and many of you have responded by serving at the Shepherd's Table or by working at Bedford Christian Ministries. For me, the vision that I get when I think of Bedford County is not a man calling us across the sea, but the vision that I see is the vision of a child in need. It's a dream, the vision of a child who does not have enough to eat, especially on the weekends and especially this summer when there's no school and meals aren't provided. This is a young person who is calling us to come and help. Or maybe it's an older person in our community who's in their home and they've begun to struggle not only to make ends meet, but to do their daily tasks. Poverty is real in our area, but so is God. The vision that the Lord gives us today is the vision of open hearts that are out there. There are many who need the Lord today and many who need us today. Missions have confused many people. That we would go into a situation and offer our help and then leave. The saying, "I'm from the government, I'm here to help," sometimes becomes, "I'm here from the church and I'm here to help." And the church does more harm than good. Missions is really about listening to the voice of the Lord and meeting people right where they are and helping them where they are. There are others to be found on the journey. And maybe God is using missions to try and heal something in you. Seeing the hearts that are already opened is the challenge for us. Not to share the gospel anywhere the Lord does not have that task for us, but to share the gospel faithfully in the places where God is giving us the vision to go. There once was a British missionary who came home from many years of service in China. He was on the same ship that was coming into port with a famous politician. And so when the politician disembarked, there was a band and a great crowd and a large celebration. When the missionary disembarked later, there was no one to greet him, not even the people who were supposed to meet him at the ship. Apparently, his messages had not arrived to the people who were supposed to meet him. He was sad, and he said, "God, I didn't expect a brass band. I didn't expect a great crowd, but you could have had at least one person here to welcome me home." The missionary then heard a voice from above, and God said, "You're not home yet." The call to missions is a constant process. We're never finished. The Lord is spreading the good news of the kingdom to more and more people. There may not be a brass band when we finish each step of the way, but the Lord is calling us to give each step of the way, to never give up. Because the Lord has placed open hearts out there to hear the voice of the Lord, to make a difference in their lives. May we reach out to those with open hearts. Let us pray. Lord God, we are so thankful for your word and your call to missions. And we know that you are a big God. Strengthen our missions together. Give us visions of those to serve. And as their hearts are open, make our hearts open as well. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.